Thank you, CD. God bless you, man. If you do not believe in spiritual warfare, I would tell you to open your eyes this morning. But you know why? It's because we're doing something. Because we're glorifying the name of Jesus. And you know what? Quite frankly, I'm done talking about the devil. All right? We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about glorifying his name. We're talking this morning about the one who we will celebrate next week. They went through a crucifixion and he died, but he rose again so that we may have relationship and salvation with him. That's the one that I want to talk about this morning. Amen? Amen. Amen. Over a period of time, even right now, I saw on the news this morning that there are mobs everywhere, Ukraine and other places, that try to overtake governments. They gather together and they try to band together because they don't like how something is going on, or they don't like some kind of a government policy or whatever. And so they band together in these groups or in these mobs. Now, over a period of time and over the years, governments have chosen non-lethal ways of handling these mobs. They've taken tear gas back in the day, and they used to throw tear gas to try to disperse people, to get them away, to get them to move. When that didn't work, they would take these giant water guns, and they would spray them in the crowd. Maybe you've seen this on television. And they'd try to disperse the crowd to get them out, to move away. Well, today, we have a non-lethal weapon. It's called a sonic bullet. Have you ever heard of a sonic bullet? A sonic bullet is actually a wave of sound that is so intense. It can go up to 145 decibels. That is 50 times more than what the human ear can stand. What a sonic bullet is, it's a machine that shoots a sound wave into a crowd of people. And what happens is the operator types in a sound. It could be like a wailing baby played backwards. And then they shoot that out at even 115 decibels. And it's been reported from those at the receiving end of that sonic bullet that the pain is so excruciating inside of their head that they can't help but step aside and get away and begin to disperse out. You see, that person, when they're in that crowd, when these sonic bullets are shot, they have a choice. They could stay there in their stubbornness and continue to press on with what they're doing, or they can step aside and get out of that wave and disperse out. 2,000 years ago, there's a garden. And in this garden, we find that there was a group. There was a group that was heading towards this garden. It's called the Mount of Olives. This group had Roman soldiers, temple guards, and religious leaders, and a disciple named Judas. This mob was heading into this garden because they were tired of dealing with this troublemaker, this one they called Jesus. Now, their system of doing it was pretty routine, quite frankly. They would go in with an element of surprise. They would go in at night. And as they went in, this was the plan that they had, is that this betrayer, this Judas, this one that used to be a part of the 12 of Jesus, they had told him, listen, you go up and you identify him. He says, I'll identify him with a kiss. They said, that's fine, because we'll have lanterns and we'll have torches and we'll have our weapons ready, but we're not sure if we're going to be able to recognize him or see him, but you will be able to recognize him. So yes, Judas, you're the one. You go up and you give him a kiss. Then when you kiss him, then what we will do is the temple guards and the Romans, what we will do is we will surround him, and then we will get a squad to go ahead and bind him up in the back, and then we will take this troublemaker out. We will remove him, while the rest of this mob, what they will do is they will fend off these other 11 meek little disciples that are probably hanging out with him. This is the plan that this mob had. But what they didn't realize is that Jesus had a weapon that was beyond any sonic bullet. Jesus possessed a weapon in that very moment that would render these men helpless, but then turn around and give them a choice. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 17. We're going to be looking at John, chapter 17, and John, chapter 18 this morning. We're going to continue in our series. We started a series last week titled, I Am. We're going to look at some of these I Am statements that Jesus makes about himself as we travel through the book of John. Last week, we learned that Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. This week, we're going to take a look at a little phrase that Jesus says about himself when he says, I am he. And what implications does that have for you and I even today? I want us to know this, is that as we open up this book, we need to catch the setting, all right? We have Jesus who is praying in a garden, and he has all of his guys around him. This was a place, the scripture says, is familiar to these men. So that meant that there was a peaceful place that these men were congregating in, sleeping in. Jesus praying, the men sleeping. But I want to show you something, that even in the most peaceful places, that evil will continue to lurk and to try to capture and distract us and to take us away. In chapter 17, this is what we're going to find, is that Jesus is going to be praying. Now, this is a familiar sight. We've all seen some kind of a picture of Jesus praying in the garden. There's some depiction of it somewhere, of some artist rendering. It's usually Jesus kneeling down by a giant rock, and he's looking up into the light, and he probably has his hands up like this, and you could see him in agony, and he's praying, and he's crying out to the Father. Now, if you read in John chapter 17, you can actually read a portion of the prayer that Jesus is praying while he's kneeling down at that rock. At the beginning of this prayer, we see that Jesus is praying for himself. At the end of the prayer, we see that Jesus is praying for the world. But in the middle of that prayer, we see that Jesus is praying for his disciples. And there are some very encouraging words in here for you and I. Look at chapter 17 in the book of John, verse number 11. Follow along with me, and it says this. This is Jesus praying to the Father. These are his words. He says, protect them by the power of your name, the name that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. What Jesus is saying is this. He's talking about protection. He says, Father, listen, I am going to go to be with you. Now, Father, I need you to protect them. Remember last week we said Jesus is the good shepherd. We came from Psalm 23 and we said his rod is a protection. What Jesus has been doing with these 12 guys, all right, even Judas is included in this. What he was doing with them is that he was keeping the evil back. Think about it. For 3 years, did evil really touch those 12 disciples? Or did Jesus take every single hit protecting those guys? And now he begins to say, Father, I need you to protect them now by the power of your name. Verse number 12. Still in chapter 17, it says, and while they were with them, and while I was with them, Jesus is saying, while I was with them, I protected them and I kept them safe by that name that you gave me. There it is again. It's the second time Jesus has declared something about his name. And his name, Jesus, brings protection. There is something awesome about the name of Jesus. There is something very, very powerful that actually keeps evil at bay because of the name of Jesus. You see, Jesus knew this, is that while he was in the garden, he knew that his time was come, that he was going to be the perfect sacrifice, and that he was willingly going to give up his life in order that you and I may live forever with God. He knew that. But what the disciples didn't know is that while they were under his name, while they were under the banner of Jesus, that they too were walking exactly step in step, heartbeat to heartbeat with the will of God. Think about that. Think about that. You ever wonder, Lord, am I walking in your will? Because this doesn't seem like a very good place to be right now, whatever situation you may be going through. Jesus says, are you under the banner of my name? Are you following me? As long as those disciples followed step by step with Jesus, they were walking in the very will of God. The disciple Judas chose to step out from the protection of Jesus. And when he did, he died. And he died a life that was full of evil. But Jesus said this, if you walk in my name, then you will do the will of the Father. There's power associated in the name of Jesus. But now, evil is coming, and it's coming by force into the garden. There's a sound of a mob, and it's getting closer and closer. So Jesus calls out to the boys, because the boys are sleeping. He says, get up, because the betrayer is coming. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? You don't really know what's going on. Jesus has made it very plain. We see it on this side as to what is going on, but those guys didn't get it. And they're sleeping. They're sleeping. And Jesus comes up to him. He says, wake up. I've got to protect you one more time. Get up. There's guards. There's Romans. There's religious leaders coming. Boys, get up. Because they're coming for me, but I need to protect you. John 18, verse number 3 says this. So Judas came to the grove. He's guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they were carrying torches and lanterns and weapons. Jesus knew completely, 100%, he was very conscious of what was going on that night. Jesus knew that he was following the will of the Father. He was doing exactly what God wanted him to do, which was to be a sacrifice. So he knew the cup from which he was to drink, which is going to be death in just a few short hours. But Jesus also knew that there were these boys over here. They were just sleeping. They were disciples. They'd given their whole life to follow him. And Jesus says, you know what, guys? There's going to be some drama that's happening here. This is kind of what Jesus is saying to them. There's going to be some drama that's going on here. But I'm going to make sure that you're okay. You know, this wasn't the first time Jesus encountered drama. It wasn't the first time when a mob came around him. Matter of fact, if you look in John chapter 6, you'll find that a mob came to Jesus because they wanted to make him king. And he says, I will not have any part of that. And he walked right through them. But now Jesus, fully conscious of what is going on, submits himself to a mob and willingly takes on the cup that the Father says that you must drink. So here they come. Judas is with them, guards, religious leaders. And Jesus says this, look at chapter 18 and verse number 4. Look in your word here, because I want you to see this, all right? I want you to see this. Jesus says this. He says, who is it that you want? Who do you want? Do you understand that the one asking questions is the one that's in charge? There is a lot of people in this mob. We've seen pictures, Roman soldiers. These are big, hairy, strong men probably. Temple guards. I'm thinking that they're not that small either. Religious leaders? Eh, maybe they're small. I don't know. But they're not in charge. They come up to Jesus, torches, lanterns, shields, swords, probably spears, everything, every weapon that they have. And Jesus asks the question because Jesus is in charge, not the evil. Satan is not in charge of this scene. Jesus is in charge of this scene. Who is it that you want? And they replied to him, Jesus of Nazareth. And then I want you to look at those three little words that he says. Jesus says, I am he. I am he. The Bible goes on to say that when Jesus said, I am he, they drew back and they fell. They did what? Wait a minute. Say it again, preacher. Say it again. They fell. Wait a minute. Why have I never seen this depicted then in some movie? Why have I not seen this in like a Jesus film or the Passion of the Christ? Why have I not seen them when Jesus says, I am he? Why have I not seen the evil fall? Why is it that John is the only gospel that records this? Could it be that Jesus was standing close enough to the first guy? And when Jesus said, I am he, it startled him a minute and he tripped over his own sandals and then he knocked this guy down, knocked that guy down. All of a sudden we have Roman soldier dominoes that are falling like this. Is that what happened? Absolutely not. There was no accident that when Jesus said, I am he, that evil fell down to the ground. There is no accident in that happening at all, because there is power in the name of Jesus. Jesus invoked his name and hell fell because Jesus was in charge. Are you hearing me this morning on this? This is really, really good stuff. This is really good stuff. You know why? Because I know this. I know that there is power in the name of Jesus. I know that there is power in the name of Jesus, because some of you in here are dealing with strongholds. They are like chains that are holding you down. And those strongholds can be broken. Every single one of them can be broken them with the powerful name of Jesus Christ. That can break the chains. There's also chains of depression right now that there, it just feels like it has your mind, and it's grabbing your mind. It's trying to take you in different places and take you into dark places. I'm telling you right now, there is power in the name of Jesus. If you are suffering with depression this morning, then Jesus can take care of that. Jesus can break that chain right now. Some of you in here are dealing with relationship issues, even within your own family, possibly even looking at divorce or a prodigal child. I'm telling you right now, there is power in the name of Jesus. We don't have to go through that stuff, because evil has to fall at the name of Jesus. Are you following me on this? Oppression. Some in here are just walking in darkness. You just feel like every moment that when you walk, or that when you wake up, you feel the weight of the world upon you. You feel this horrible oppression that is feels like it constantly is just surrounding you. I'm telling you, there is power in the name of Jesus. He can break the chains of oppression. If you are struggling with that this morning, I'm telling you right now, you can have freedom today. You can absolutely have freedom today. Some in here are working through habits. There's habits in here that some are working through that it's killing you in a physical way, whatever they may be. At the very least, it's killing you in a spiritual manner. But I'm telling you right now, there is power in the name of Jesus. When Jesus says, I am, there's power that comes from that. Evil falls back. It can't stand when the name of Jesus is invoked. In verse number seven, it says this. This is talking about Jesus. It says, again, he asked, who is it that you want? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, isn't that interesting that it's the second question? It's the second time Jesus asked that question in just a matter of seconds. He asked it the first time and evil fell back. And then Jesus said this, I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to ask you again. Who is it that you are looking for? Did Jesus just want to look over his shoulder at Peter and go, hey, Peter, watch this. They're going to fall again. No. Because Jesus isn't playing games inside that garden. He knows what's happening. He is very much in control. When Jesus asked the question the second time, these men knew who it was that they were dealing with. You see, because we had Roman guards that were there as well as temple guards. These were men who understood authority. I guarantee that these men understood authority. And when Jesus began to ask questions, immediately they realized, hey, this guy's in charge. This is not an ordinary carpenter. This is somebody that is different. And then when he said, I am he, they felt it. And they fell back. And in that moment, as they're getting up and as they're gathering their shields and they're picking up their torches off the ground, in a split second, there was a choice that these men had to make. This man is more powerful than me. Will I choose to stay in control and to keep going down my path? Or when this man asked me this question again, who are you looking for? Will I choose to say, forget it, I'm not part of that anymore, because he's more powerful than I am? Those Roman guards and the temple guards, they understood authority. You know what the religious leaders understood? In that second, when Jesus said, I am, They understood his deity because they knew in the book of Exodus, when Moses was standing at the burning bush, you remember this? When Moses was standing at the burning bush and Moses says, hey, who do I say is sending me? What does God say? I am that I am. When these religious leaders, when they heard, when they said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, and he says, I am he, it's the same words that they knew that was happening in the book of Exodus, and the same power hit them too. And as they are gathering themselves up to stand up, they too had a choice. That's the reason for the second question, is because Jesus was offering them a choice. Will you continue to walk down and eat? Will you continue to do what it is that you want to do? Or, Jesus gives a choice and says, or will you change your mind? Because if you try to control me, you have to understand that you're not in control. You're not in charge. Jesus says, I am in charge. They replied the second time, Jesus of Nazareth, and Jesus told them, he said, I told you, I am he. Nobody fell that time. They had made their choice, and they were ready to walk the path that they had chosen. You see, even in that moment of compassion, Jesus is still protecting his disciples. As I read through Scripture, he was giving these men a choice, saying, hey, I'm going to show compassion on you too. I'm going to give you a chance. But if you choose to continue your own way, you're going to lose. Because Jesus says, I am in control. This is the question I need to ask us this morning, church. I need to ask you something. You see, these men, when this mob was going into, when they were going into the garden, all right, they were looking for someone. They were looking for Jesus of Nazareth. I want to ask you a question this morning. Who are you looking for this morning? When you came through these doors and you came on this property, I want to ask you, who is it that you're looking for? Are you looking for one that the guards were trying to look for? One? Are you looking for a Jesus that you can control? Are you looking for a Jesus that Jesus, I need you to do things my way. You're kind of messing some things up in my life right now. So Jesus, you need to come into a line here. We're going to have a meeting, just you and I. And I need to tell you, Jesus, that I'm not liking what's going on right now. So therefore, Jesus, you need to listen to me. Is that the Jesus that you're looking for this morning? Are we approaching him with our own agenda? Are we approaching him with our own strength? Are we approaching him in our own demands? This is what I want, Jesus. And so you have to do what it is that I need you to do for me. That's a Roman guard. That's a temple guard. If that's you this morning, then I'm telling you right now, you're carrying the torch and you're carrying the sword and you're part of a gang. You're part of a mob. Is trying to control Jesus. And I'm telling you right now, friend, I don't care how hard you fight that, you will not win. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. And he's given you a choice. And my friend, I'm telling you right now, this morning is a time to make a choice. You see, when these men answered, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, what they were saying is this: we're just looking for an ordinary man. We're looking for a carpenter's son. That's who we're looking for. You know what Jesus was telling them when he said, I am? He said, I am the one who lets blind eyes see. Jesus said, I am the one that takes a leper and cleanses their skin. You're looking for a carpenter? It was just last week. If you go look in a tomb of a man named Lazarus, he was dead for 4 days. He's walking around the city now. That's the I am who is standing in front of you. Not a carpenter. Not some meek, mild man. The powerful, almighty God. The I am. There is power in the name of Jesus. There's a lot of people that are going through difficult situations. I know that. I know that. And just know that as a pastor that I pray for every single one of you, and as much as I can, even by name. But I'm telling you right now is that this morning there are some in here that are looking for Jesus. You're looking for him. You're looking for him. There's a man by the name of Blind Bartimaeus. Do you remember this story? Blind Bartimaeus is found in Mark chapter 10, verse 47. He was looking for Jesus. He says this, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." What was he looking for when he was looking for Jesus? He was looking for mercy. "God, I've done some things, but will you give me what I don't deserve? Will you give me love? Will you give me forgiveness?" There's somebody in here that's just like Bartimaeus, that as Jesus is standing with you this morning, Jesus is standing right here, right now, and he's looking at each and every one of you this morning. He's saying this, "Who are you looking for? Are you the one that's crying out and saying, 'Jesus, just like Bartimaeus, I need some mercy in my life. I've done some things, Jesus, and I need you. I need the powerful you.'" There's another. He's a leper. He's in Matthew chapter 8. He was looking for Jesus. He said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." This leper was looking for cleanliness from his skin because he had the disease, a disease that put him on the outside, on the outskirts of the city. There are some in here, I know, that are looking to just saying, "Jesus, you got to clean me up, because you know what? I'm a real mess right here, right now. Jesus, I'm a mess. I've got so much sin on me, and there is no way that I can get it off me. So Jesus, if you are willing, will you please make me clean?" Is that the Jesus that you're looking for this morning? Because I'm telling you something, friend. He's the I am. There is power in the name of Jesus. Any sin, any evil that may rest inside you or around you, it must fall in the name of Jesus. There's a mute man in chapter 9. He was looking for Jesus of Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. He was brought to Jesus and he had a demon cast out of him so that he could speak again. I hear it all too often of people telling me this, as, "Pastor, I wish that I could testify." Not just in church, because sometimes it's a little easier to testify in church because we're among family. I hear about testifying, or evangelizing is another name that we like to use for it, outside of the walls. "That, Pastor, is so hard to me. It's so hard for me to talk about Jesus. It's so hard for me to talk with him with my coworkers or where I'm at work. And I want to, but it just feels like I'm mute. It just feels like I just can't get the words out." Or I've seen this too, is that people come to me and they say, "Pastor, you know, I hear about this freedom that we can have in worshiping God. And I watch it when people pray or when people sing. And so many times, Pastor, is that I want to raise my hands in praise and worship, but I just can't get them. It's like they're locked in my pockets." People have literally told me this. "I can't get them out of my pockets. I don't have the freedom to be able to say, 'Lord, I give you everything, and I worship you even right now, right here.'" I'm telling you right now, just like that mute, I'm not saying that you're possessed by a demon, but I am saying that Jesus can give you freedom. Freedom to worship him. Not worried about religious leaders, not worried about the world and what they're going to say. I'm talking about authentic one-on-one worship with God. Not to put a show on in front of somebody else, but to stand in front of a holy God and to hit your knees and to raise your hands and just say, "Jesus, it is all about you. I just want to be with you. I don't care what other people think. I don't care what other people say. I don't care what I look like." As David would say, "I'll become more undignified than this, if that's what it takes to bring glory to God." I can keep going on and on this morning. In John chapter 4, I'll give you one more, is that there was a lady at the well, a Samaritan woman. She engages with Jesus. She was looking for Jesus also. You know what she was looking for? She says this, "And when he comes, he will tell us all things." She was looking for a Jesus that would answer questions. There's some of you in here that are still wondering why or what. What do I need to do? Why is this going on? You know what? There is power in the name of Jesus. The Samaritan woman needed some answers. And Jesus says, "I am he. I can tell you everything that you need to know in order to glorify God. And let the Son be glorified also." Let me just throw a flip of the coin really fast and say this. Those are those of us that are searching for Jesus in those kind of ways. Or are you searching him like the mob? This mob that came into this garden. This mob of religious leaders. This mob that comes in and says this, you know what? I need to crucify him because he's messing everything up. You know, this Jesus that lives in my life and everything, he's got these rules and these regulations and this stuff, and quite frankly, he's messing it all up. And so the Jesus I'm looking for is the one that needs to get out of my life. Who are you looking for this morning, church? Is Jesus too much? Is he messing up your plan? Because I have some news for you. You're not in control. Jesus is asking the question. He's asking you, who are you looking for? Where are you this morning with that? Are you a Judas? Judas was looking to betray him. Judas traded his relationship with Jesus for worldly goods. That's betrayal. What's more important to you this morning? Is Jesus the most important thing? Or is there commas in your bank account that means more? Is there family that is around you that means more? You know, Jesus puts a high cost on being his disciple. Judas, he looked at the cost and he made a choice. And he said this, he said, you know, it's not about following Jesus anymore. It's about giving what this world, taking what this world will give me. And ultimately, we know the fate of Judas. Is he died a horrible death. Suicide. A horrible death because he thought that he knew what he wanted. But Jesus gave him a choice. Somehow, I'll tell you this, wherever you are with Jesus right now, something will come about in your life where Jesus is going to ask you, who are you looking for? And in that moment when Jesus asks that, he's going to declare that he is in control, that he is all powerful, that he is the I am. And when that happens, it's going to set you back on your heels. You're going to see something in your life that has never happened before. It's going to knock you down because you're standing in front of a holy God, and it's going to knock you down. You're not going to like it. But as you get up, you're going to have a choice to make. And Jesus is going to say, I'm going to ask you again, who are you looking for? The choice is yours. The choice is yours this morning. Will you be like the ones that say, Jesus, I'm laying it all out before you. I've got these chains on me, Jesus, that they need to break. They need to come down. Or will you be like the ones that stand in defiance, that even after a warning says, I am going to continue doing things my way. And I'm going to try to control you, Jesus. And just, it may look like, Jesus may give the appearance that you are binding him and that you are having your way with him. But ultimately, my friend, you will lose. You will lose. It is only in complete submission to him that we will come through victorious. We won't understand it. We don't know all the answers. Jesus is the one with answers, not us. But I need to ask you again this morning, who are you looking for this morning? I want you to know this, is that Jesus is in control. Jesus is the one that heals. Jesus is the one that forgives. Jesus is definitely the one that saves. I'm going to ask our praise team to come back up here. I want them to sing a song. As they sing this morning, this is what I want you to do. I want you to ask the question in your heart and in your mind. I want you to ask the question for yourself, who are you looking for this morning? And when Jesus answers, I am he, what will your response be? You see, because Jesus has come to break chains, the chains that bind us, the chains that keep us down, the chains that are pulling us into the worldly places. And Jesus says, my name can break every single one of those. Yes. I'm going to give you a choice this morning. Jesus has given you a choice this morning. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he stands before you right now and he says, who are you looking for? If you are looking for a Savior this morning, then I invite you to come down here and pray with me. Because I'll show you, I'll lead you. Jesus is the one that will do it. I'll just help you. I'll help show you the way if you're looking for the Jesus that saves. If you're looking for a Jesus that you say, Pastor, I have salvation, but this whole thing with my life, I don't have my whole life that's devoted to him. You know what that's called? That's called sanctification. That's a second act of grace. That's saying, God, not only do you have my heart, you have my whole life. If that's you this morning, if that's the Jesus that you're looking for, then again, I invite you to come down here and I pray that you will give your whole life over to Jesus. And then there's a third person. There's a third category of people that I want to invite down to an altar this morning as this praise team sings. And that is this. It's the ones that just want to come down and just worship him freely. That is what I'm going to choose to do. As for me and my house, we will be down at an altar this morning and we will freely worship a Jesus that can break every chain. Where are you this morning? I invite you to come down and join us at the altars this morning.
There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. There's an army rising up. Can you feel it? There's an army rising up. Let the Lord use you, army rising up. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Hallelujah.
I hear the chains falling. I hear the chains falling. Chains of poverty, I hear them. I hear the chains falling. Trouble in your heart. Depression is falling. They're falling. Oh, hallelujah. I hear the chains. Give God some praise. Give God some praise. He's falling. The chains. The chains are falling off your life. I hear the chains falling. If you believe it. Hallelujah. I hear the chains. They're falling. They're falling. Chains are falling. Yes, they're falling. They're falling. They're falling. They're falling. Depression. Hallelujah. You have no hold any longer. Addictions. You have no hold any longer. Anxiety. You have no hold any longer. The chains are falling. Yes, they're falling. They're falling. They're falling. Hallelujah. 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 Let the God of our God. The Prince of Peace, hallelujah, the one that saved you, hallelujah, he's here to free you today, hallelujah, let God free you, hallelujah, for all traditions, for everything that's keeping you from worshiping God the way he wants you to worship him. I hear the chains falling. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, there's power, there's power, there's power. There's power, there's power. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord was just sharing with me that that even as this service started out, we may have had a few hiccups. A few bumps in the road. But I believe that Jesus is proving right now that when you focus on him, everything changes, even the atmosphere.
Yes, God.
Evil cannot stand when a holy God is present. Who are you looking for this morning, my friend? I pray that it's a Savior. I pray that it's Jesus Christ. I pray that whatever it is that is going on in your life, that as you walk out of these doors today, that the only thing on your lips is Jesus, is Jesus, is Jesus. When you go to bed tonight, it's Jesus. When you dream tonight, it's Jesus. When you wake up in the morning, it's Jesus that is on your lips. He's the one that we're looking for. God, I thank you for your presence. Jesus, I thank you for your name that protects, your name that heals, your name that forgives. Lord, your name that is glorified, your name that is above any other name. I thank you, Jesus, that we can come in a place and just worship you. God, I pray for the prayer that you prayed when you were in the garden. That God, that right here, these are your people. These are your sheep, God. These are, Lord, we belong to you. This is your bride. This is yours. And Jesus, I pray that you will protect us by the power of your name. God, I pray that you will bind hearts back together, that you will bring healing, that you will bring order, and that, God, most of all, that you are glorified. Loose our tongues this week, Lord, to speak to those that are far from you. And Jesus, I pray that you will be the Lord of our life, Lord, not just today, but all week long, that we see you in a new light. Jesus, as we gather together for next Sunday, Lord, for Easter, and as we celebrate, Lord, your resurrection, I pray, Lord, that even this week, God, that we would not forget the passion that you went through, the passionate love for us. And Jesus, I pray that that is the one that we as a body will seek. Be with us now, God. Bless this body. Bless this bride. Love us, Lord. I pray for that you will increase our number so that we can go out again and make more disciples. We love you, Jesus. You are the one that we seek. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Have a blessed week, each and every one of you.
There is power. Mm-hmm.
Come on. Come on. Bring it.
In the name of Jesus.
Praise God.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Hallelujah, you're the army.
Break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain.
Hallelujah.
There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.